بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنسان man has an outer self and he has an inner self. Like you have clothing that's on the outside, and within is your body, right? And any person that is sane, right in his mind, he is concerned about both. I need to keep my clothing clean as well as my body. He doesn't feel, well, my clothing is clean. If the body is filthy and smelly, then there's no problem. So similarly, man has an external self and he has an inner self. And like it is important to rectify his outer self, then it is important to rectify and improve his inner self. Right? In fact, if the outside is right only and the inner self is being totally neglected, then this is similar to a person whose body is smelling dirty and filthy and he's put on a nice beautiful suit over it. Now this looks even worse. This looks even more worse. He's wearing this type of clothes. Look at his body. So much of smell, so much of dirt, so much of filth. And to cover up the body, he's putting on this type of new clothes. It's like an insult to injury. So Deen wants us to rectify, correct, and cleanse our inner self and our outer self. Just confining ourselves to the inner self or confining ourselves to the outer self, that's insufficient. At all times, look at the inner self and the outer, the inner, the outer. Many a times it happens that a person has a different approach when he's outside, and he has a different style when he's inside the house. In Shamail al-Tirmidhi, Bukhari Sharif, you get the incident of Zara. Those 12 ladies got together and they agree amongst themselves that we will disclose every fault of our husband. 12 aunties, all the work they had. So they said, we'll expose our husbands completely. So one of those women, she says, my husband, when he comes at home, he's like a lion. But when he's outside, he's a lamb. I'm just giving it our own language. See? So all the aggression and all the bravery that he's supposed to be showing, he's showing it within the house. And outside, he's a weakling. He's like a lamb outside. So this obviously is an insult. It's disgraceful that your bravery you are showing upon those that are totally weak. You know, you can suppress them, you can oppress them, you can push your way around with them, so you showed your bravery there. But that's not right, right? So there must be a balance between the outer and the inner self. Right? When there is that balance with the outer self and the inner self, then you will find the beauty in the man. You will find a beauty, you will find an attraction. You will find that people respect him and he is looked up amongst people. Allah Ta'ala will love him in the heavens, and in this earth people will love him as well. Because both are right. The inner self is right and the outer surface, right? The Quran says it in very clear words, ذَرُوا ظَاهِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَبَاطِنَ. Leave out the outer sins as well as the inner sins. Doesn't say that leave out only the outer sins, rather outer and inner sins. So if you have practiced only leaving out the outer sins and you left out the inner sins, then you haven't practiced completely on the verse of the Quran Sharif. Many of us in this day and time, we are more concerned about public opinion, what people will feel, right? How people will take this. On account of this, then we are very, very concerned about those sins and those wrongs that are looked down upon in the public eye. Like, we wouldn't want to go into drugs, right? And the reason is obvious, that we know the embarrassment, the type of stigma that is attached to it, the type of humiliation that goes with drugs, so we won't go near it, right? It may be that we are leaving it because of it being sinful. But apart from it being sinful, we understand the disgrace that goes with it, we understand the humiliation that goes with it, so we leave it out on that account as well. In fact, more on account of the being disgraceful, more on that being a thing that will bring humiliation and disgrace. See? And then you find a youngster that is contemplating marriage, he would be very, very strongly on his guard against it. See, I will break my chances just now. If it's a prospective and a nice home, and then he'll have to be much more careful about how he presents himself, how he conducts himself, drugs. So this is not right. This is some type of a shirk, that you left it out, not only on account of the fear of Allah Ta'ala and His love, but because of what people will say. So you will find many a times a person, he will, for example, he will leave out drugs, right? But he's still engaging himself in zina, right? Now, zina of the eyes sometimes, zina of the ears, right? Fornication, it's fornication. And he still remains the respected person, that Hafiz Saab, Mulana, whatever, but he's engaged in this, on a cell phone, or whatever it is. But he's engaging in this, and he knows it, and Allah Pak knows it. But he feels, he pleases himself, he tries to console and comfort himself, that see, people still hold me in that respect. But if Khuda na khasta, Allah Ta'ala forbid, if he got involved in some fraud, right, and his name is exposed, right, involved in fraud, and he's exposed, or for example, he was found in a brothel, right, and people had photoed him. Somehow, someone had a cell phone, someone had a photograph, and he photoed him, camera, and he photoed him. I'll see what happens to that person in Johannesburg. I think it was about 2 or 3 years ago. So there was a suicide case of a girl. So what had happened there was, the girl was in one of these clubs. You know how these clubs and all the drug clubs and all that. So she was in that state, and she was in the high, she doesn't know what's happening. And one person went and he did his job with her, whatever he did. In the meanwhile, someone photoed them, they cameraed them on the act, what they're doing, etc. Later, when this girl came out of the effect of the drug, she realized that she is being photoed. And the one that had done this type of thing with her was her own brother. Right? Now, these friends, this is what they do afterwards. Once they have cameraed you, they have photoed you, then they distribute that photograph amongst all the rest of the friends. And it's going on right throughout the city. Right throughout. Now she can't contain that type of humiliation and disgrace, that my own brother did this to me, I'm photoed, my mother, my father, everybody is seeing this. So, now how am I going to continue with life? But the fact that she was involved in that wrong, she's not worried about. What she's worried about is people have seen her. Understand? There's two dimensions to the wrong. The one dimension is that I am guilty with respect to the command of Allah Ta'ala. And the other dimension is, now what will people say? How do I look in the public eye? So the public opinion has consumed us, you know. What will people say? How will people look at us? That consumes us. And when that consumes us, we neglect and we ignore the fact that this is a transgression. It's the breaking of the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are not worried about. You know, some people say, what's left, what's in the outer? The main thing is the heart. The main thing is the heart. What's left in the outer self? Now, if someone is involved in this type of a disgrace, tell me what will happen to him. And someone consoles him, what are you worried about the outer? The main thing is the heart. Your heart is already, isn't it? The outer self, when engaged in this type of wrong, but your heart is absolutely clean, it's magnificent, it's like a gem, like a diamond shining. Will that type of appeasing and comforting carry any water? No, nothing. Nothing, absolutely. It's shouting even, what's wrong with you? I am dying with disgrace and you making a joke of it. That's what he will take. He will take it as a sarcasm, he will take it as a ridicule. So there must be that balance, that you know, that balance, that even level, that between the zahir and the batin, both must be level, both must be even. And this happens to everybody. It happens to everybody. When you get exposed amongst public, amongst people, then that is taken very seriously. If that wrong or that inconsistency took place within the confines of the house or confines of one, two friends, you don't feel so bad about it. But in the public, then you feel terrible about it. One Qari Sahib, he used to get hal, you see. And nobody could control, nobody could contain him in that hal of his. He'll jump, listening to some qawwali, and he'll jump and do a lot of type of strange things. People like this, that's a mark of excellence of the qawwali itself, the singer, that he sent the crowd, the audience, he sent them wild. They were jumping and what they were doing. So that's a mark, that's an endorsement of excellence of the qawwal, of the singer. So now the singers also sometimes they get someone planted, you know, in the crowd. So it's a show now, he's singing and he's got someone planted, and when I sing, I just jump and all that. Now, this Qari Sahib that was known for his getting hard and all that, coming into that state where he's uncontrollable, he's jumping and all that, he was known for that. And nobody could calm him. When he gets into a hall, it goes on and on, he jumps and does a lot of strange things and nobody can control him. There was a talk, so one other Hafiz Sahib says, no, don't worry, I got one taweez for that. And I will bring him under control. So anyway, there was one qawwal going on, and this person, this Qari Sahib, went into a hall. He's jumping and he's doing a lot of strange things. So this Hafiz Sahib, the people try to calm him down. The Hafiz Sahib said, no, I'll calm him down. So the Hafiz Sahib went and whispered something in his ears. The moment he whispered something in his ears, he came totally relaxed, calmed down straight away. So if you will ask that Hafiz Sahib, but what was the taweez? What you blown into his ears that he was totally relaxed? He said, no, don't worry about that. Isn't he relaxed? He said, yeah. But Hafiz Sahib, you'll have to tell us what was the secret. So he said, no, I didn't say anything. I didn't know taweez I got. Then what did you do? He said, no, I told Qari Sahib, Qari Sahib, your trousers is torn from the back. So now, straight away, all that hall and everything just subsided. Straight, he came calm down. So you're so worried, what I'm showing you, you're so worried about your zahir and how you look in the outside. How do people look at you? What will people tell about you? What will they say about you? Eh? Forget the rest. Even if they say, even if it's a permissible thing, but it's not something that is practiced commonly amongst people. It's not a practiced thing, right? But it's a permissible thing. But it's not practiced. Now, if on the secret someone gets married for the second time, secretly, he's got a wife, and someone discovers it, what happens to him? Hey, what's going to happen now? Because though the whole world has ended upon him. So even for a permissible thing, you feel so embarrassed and so disgraced and so bad within yourself. So this is also a type of shirk. You're so consumed with people's opinion, public opinion. Right? In fact, these weddings and all that, and the wastage and the extravagance that take place, revolves around the same fact. Okay. Public opinion. What will people feel about you? Right? Someone in that community was excelling. He was making the money, you see. And he was excelling. People could see it now, he's excelling. So, the family people envied him. They're seeing that we are of one level and he is now 100 times, literally 100 times better, more than us. We are only earning 3-4 thousand and he's 3-4 million. And you can see it is just escalating. He struck some deal or he got some investment and just moving up. So now we need to cut him to size. Somehow we need to cut him to size, bring him to our level. See this jealousy and how it works. Jealousy works in wonderful ways, strange ways. And outwardly, they seem to be so innocent. And in its inner self, there is the rot. But outwardly, it seems to be so innocent. You can't find the problem. That's what we are talking about today. Rectify the outer and the inner. Rectify the outer and the inner, both. Yeah, it will happen with wealth, it will happen with knowledge as well. If someone is excelling in knowledge or in piety and righteousness and virtue, you can't see it. Hey, people are talking about him, but they don't talk about me. Whereas my tahqiq is greater than his tahqiq. My knowledge is greater than his knowledge. And my taqwa is greater than his taqwa, but they talk about him, they identify with him, but they don't talk about me at all. So somehow or the other we try and push the person down. If there's a circle and they are speaking good about Maulana Yunus, for example, so what we'll try and do is we'll try and push Maulana Yunus. What do you know about Maulana Yunus? What do you know? You're talking about him. I was in his class, man. Ustad used to make him make good bait and all that. So what's the niyat? What's the niyat? You're saying, alright, it may be true that he was making good bait or he stood outside the class one day, right? It may be true, but really what's the niyat? The niyat is to push him down. That now he is excelling, people are talking great about him. They respect him and they adore him. In fact, this happens. This is something that is quite rife. And it's not from today, from generations. I know there was one alim, now all his ulama have passed away. Telling this thing happens according to the profession that you are in, it must happen. If you are Hafiz, then you will try and pull out the fault of the other Hafiz. Qari Sahib, then another Qari Sahib. Mulana Sahib, then another Mulana Sahib. Mufti Sahib, then another Mufti Sahib. Sheikhul Hadith, then someone else's Sheikhul Hadith. You will try and run him down, push him down. So this is that hasad. That's why Hazrat Mawlana Thanvi Sahib used to say, ke yaha aakar ke insaniyat ko seekho. Come to me and learn insaniyat. What is to be a man? What is to be a man? To become awliya, etc. That you can do it yourself as well. But what is to be a man? You come and learn it here. So now I'm talking of people of the same profession and you envy. We are the same profession and we are on the same ages. You, my contemporary, we are the same age. We studied around the same time or the same institute. Now I'm envious of you. If you're selling something, then I'm envious of you. Right? And see this capitalist and the Jews and all that, they understood all these things. They understood very well how man's mind works. So one person wanted his business to flourish. So he opened one shop here, and opposite to it he opened up another shop. Both are his own shops. And now here he's got a sale, about 1 rand cheaper than that. Everybody are flooding into that shop. They are flooding to the shop because they know now that's cheaper. Right? He knows within himself that this is how man thinks. This is how man thinks. I must get it cheaper somehow and I must go there. So this is within the human tabiat, man's tabiat. Somehow or the other he wants to push someone down, break him, ridicule him, that people must talk about him. If there's any good, it must come on his side. Then evil and wrong must go somewhere else, but the good must come to himself, to his family, to his children. He must identify all the good with him. So this is not why Allah Ta'ala has created us. Dunya mein hum aaye hain, we've come to this world, bandagi ko seekhne ke liye. To learn slavery, to learn servitude, not to learn how to be a king or a leader. That's not the job. Right? Allah Pak has sent us to learn slavery. Mawla'iyat, not to become a god, but to become a slave. That's what He sent us out here for. So how are we going to become that slave? So a slave's approach, his attitude, his outlook is totally different to a God, right? God is now all excellence, its majesty, its supremacy, its authority, its greatness. God is like that. And slavery, you are humble, you are submissive, you are cooperating, you are considering. So all of this, these features of humility, the features of lowering yourself, the features of trying to make yourself seem to be inferior to others, that's in the slave, that's in the tabiat, the temperament of the slave. And this is what you have been sent out for, to learn that. مَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. To learn this. Okay. So I was talking about people of the same profession and how one wants to put the other person down. So there was one alim, all late now, and the other one was quite prominent, people would accept him, would call him for talks, etc., ask him for dua, so he was more prominent. And the other one wasn't so prominent. So the one that was not prominent, one day he came here, for some work of his own he came. So now he has got into a discussion about that alim that is popular. That Amin Alim that is prominent. He says, yeah, you know, we studied together in India, and he used to miss the bed. He used to miss the bed. He used to wet himself. He couldn't control. He had a weak kidney, a weak bladder, and he couldn't control his urine. But now, what was the intention behind that? That he is not so prominent, he is not so popular, and this Maulana is very popular. So how must I ridicule him? How must I bring him, cut him to size? So that is within our tabiat. So this nafs works in a very, very strange way, very extremely strange way, very subtle. Extremely subtle to be able to understand the subtleties and the discreet deception of the nafs is not everybody's work. You can't pick it up. The ammaratum bisu. It's a great driver, commander to evil, violently. Just towards evil. So we're talking about this person here, and he's excelling in the town. And here they're making thousands, and he's making millions, and he's going. And each day is going up. And they can't stand it. Same day, same family. They were all together, contemporaries, around the same levels, and this person is escalating, is going so high, and we are still stuck where we are. So they can't stand it. How to get at him? We have to get at him, but we need to get at him with dignity, you know. not with embarrassment. One is to get at him with embarrassment, go and steal his money, go and loot and plunder. So that is embarrassment, isn't it? So this jealousy, etc., jealousy, pride, actually it's worse. One is to loot and to steal, to attack, right? That's a crime. Definitely it's a crime. But what is the catalyst of this crime? The catalyst of the crime is this jealousy, greed, pride. This is the catalyst. So because this is the catalyst, this is the thing that is spurring it up, therefore that is even worse. And that is why the hadith says that it wipes out and eats out all your good deeds. Hasad, jealousy, pride, all that, it eats up, it destroys. What you have, the castles and palaces of goodness that you have erected with your good deeds, they come and eliminate it. They come and wipe it out. Akala mala haza, wa saraka mala haza. He's eaten this person's wealth, he has taken this person's wealth. So the catalyst, what is the catalyst? This is the catalyst. It's pride, arrogance, greed, jealousy, etc. This is the catalyst. This is what prompts and spurs up that guna. So when this is the thing that spurs it up, then you need to work on that. You need to clean that up. You need to see that that comes in place. Alright. There may be someone that can ask that this is natural. You know, to envy is natural. Then how do we eliminate it? So we don't say eliminate it. We say that just give it a, just reconstruct it, you know. Just give it a turn. Just give it a twist. So that envy now, you still have it, but it's given, you've given it a twist now. It is twisted to the right. It is turned to the right. That envy is still there, but it's turned to the right. It's tuned into the right. To eliminate it from the root, it's not going to be possible. But yes, you can tune it and you can turn it to the right. How you turn it to the right? Now, that person is reading a lot of Quran Sharif. So I'm envying me. I must also read like him. Right? Or he's spending in the path of Allah Ta'ala and he's spending wealth. Right? He's got tons of wealth and he's spending. Allah Ta'ala gave me that wealth. I would have spent on the poor, the orphans, the destitute. I would have built madrasas, masjid, etc. Okay? So you see, you can't eliminate this because this is natural. What is natural? A natural property you can't eliminate. You can't kill it completely. You will suppress it perhaps, but you will not eliminate it. Right? Like, you know, fitratullahi allati fadarat nasa alayha la tabdeela li khalqillah. You say fitra. What is the meaning of fitra? It's a lengthy explanation. But a simple explanation to fitrat is the natural potential to accept Islam, to accept the truth. The natural potential to accept Islam. So every human being has that potential to accept the truth. He has it. So nobody can change it. لَا تَبْدِيلَ لِخَلْقِ اللَّهِ. Nobody can change it. You can't eliminate it. Like you say, you know, eliminate the property of taste. Can you eliminate it? You can't eliminate it. You can't. It's taste, it will remain, right? So it's a natural thing, you can't kill it. Right? You say, alright, eliminate the property of aggression of a lion. You know, lion is aggressive, right? It wants to attack. Now you said, alright, let me train the thing. I will bring it like my own child. I will put it into my bed. I will feed it with my own hand. But can you say that you will eliminate that aggression in that lion? You can't. You can't trust it. That will eat you just now. So that's the property that Allah has created the lion with. Similarly, Allah has created us with a property, right? And the property to accept the truth. So a human's mind, that human conscience, right? His conscience will trouble you. Oh, you did this, it's not right. You did this, it's not right. So that is that property, that potential to accept the truth. Yes, you may say that the potential is not as active as it was. That can happen. But to say that that potential has been eliminated, it won't be eliminated. It will be there. You have the property to accept the truth. You have the property that drives you to accept justice, right? Even in this world today, right? although there is so much of corruption at every level, government level or the public level, there is corruption right through. We know about it. Everybody knows about it. Corruption is there, right? But the law will tell you that now we are fighting for the cause of justice. However they interpret it, however they will say it, but they will say that we are fighting for the cause of justice. And so, justice, that potential, that nature, that tabiat, you know, the temperament to fight for justice, for the cause of justice, is within your very nature. You can't eliminate it, you can't extinguish it entirely. It's going to be there. So what Islam is telling you, that just turn it. You've got that ability, that ability is driving you to the wrong. Now bring it to the right. Right? It's, that potential is taking you to the east, bring it to the west. Right? So that car has got the ability to go on both directions. It's got the ability to move and move in both directions. So just direct it, redirect it. The soul needs to be redirected, the soul. So you've got that potential and you've got that ability, natural ability to be envious, right? And in itself that enviousness is good. Because if there was no enviousness and there was no jealousy, then there would have been no competitive nature within man. Right? You would have had a competitive nature. In the exams, each child is trying to beat the other. Why? There is that competitive nature. فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ Allah also speaks about try and excel, beat each other in good works, in righteous works. Right? You heard, for example, that this person here, this Sahabi, he preferred death to that water that was being given to him. Why? He showed preference to his brother. You can see that his brother is passing away, or his cousin is dying, right? So he says, give the water to my brother. Right? In the meanwhile, he is in the throes of death. But in the throes of death, he is preferring his brother or his cousin or another Muslim brother to himself. Right? So now you hear about this. So what should be your response? Your response would be, I must be even more generous than him. He was generous with his life. The water was coming to him and he's dying. And he says, pass the water on to my brother. So I must try and be even more generous to him. If I had 100 lives, I would have given it away for, in preference to the brother of mine. Right? So this is how we need to think. The same jealousy is now redirected. It's given a different direction. So we're talking about this town, and they had this wealthy person. Amongst the community, they had this wealthy person. Now they are thinking now, in a dignified approach, how do we get to this person? See, we mustn't now ridicule ourselves by going stealing and robbing and all that, but we must cut him to size. Now they're waiting for an occasion, his daughter is growing up, and she's about marriageable age, and the proposals are coming, and they are just confirmed. When they confirmed, so now this family and this townspeople have got a chance, got an occasion to go and talk to me. You know, congratulations and compliments, your proposal has been accepted, etc., whatever. Then the thinking to themselves, how to get this person, cut him to size. He's got big investments and big properties. You need to get him stripped off those properties. So they say, well, this is your only daughter, you know. When it's your only daughter, you better do it in style. You better do it in style and have the best decor, you know, on the stage, best hall, ICC. What you must get the ICC and get the decor and get the stage all done very, very well. And you know, your daughter is the only daughter, and you got all this money now. People mustn't say that daughter of yours was a burden. Therefore, you just dumped her. No use. Spend it in style, and let her land from a helicopter into a limousine, and the limousine was going to the stage, and she must be having all those best men with her and all that, and leading her from the aisle into the stage. Now, big money, all this is. It's talking of big money, from the helicopter into the limousine. Limousine was driver here, and the bridal shower, and the bride, the dress, and all that. They must have so much of ornaments and diamond and all that. Now they cleaned him properly. It worked out to about 10, 15 million rands. He had to go and attach all his properties, all his investments, all his buildings, all were attached. And now he is in the debt. The banks wiped him out. They attached his property, everything, they attached it, and they wiped him out. Now, the family people, they sit back and they have a good laugh. Say, no, we cut him to size. This person was, thinking too much of himself. We brought him to size, we cut him down. So this jealousy comes out in different ways. It doesn't come out only in the one way, it comes out in different ways. See, many a times I think the poor class, the blacks, unfortunate, right? And how the wealthy exploits them, right? How they exploit them. Instead of teaching them how to budget, how to rectify, how to have a good, moderate life, you know. Now, they won't go in that direction, but they will just change the fashion, clothing or furniture or something, they will just change the fashion. And with a little bit of change of the fashion, now they make big advertisements. You know, come here and 60 days to pay, and you know, do it like this, and you can pay over 60 months, etc. Meanwhile, they are skinning these people. Same people now. Before he can enjoy his wealth, at the end of the month, he has to give 90% of that out. When was it? About 3 weeks ago. One person says that he gets about 9,000 rands a month, but he is worthy, he is eligible for zakat. He said, how come? 9,000 rands a month he's getting, and he's eligible for zakat. He says, yeah, what happens? Is 7,000 I have to pay towards all these installments, right? Then 1,000 for the lights and water and what have you. Lights, water, something of levies and all that. And then I'm just left with 1,000. At the end of the month, I'm just left with 1,000. Now, how has I come out with 1,000? So he's earning 9,000, but before the end of the month, everything is being wiped out. So you see the evil amongst people. It's the evil. Instead of not teaching these people, you budget yourself. This is how you collect yourself. This is how you spend. Teach that person, like you're prosperous, they will be prosperous. Like you're enjoying, they will be enjoying. But no, you won't go that way. It's your greed that has consumed you, you see. So what we are talking today, with the fazl of Allah Ta'ala today, is leave out inner sins and outer sins, both. Like you rectify the outside, then rectify the inner self. And just to say that the main thing is the soul, and don't be concerned about the outer self, that is just a deception. It's nothing more than a deception. It's not a truth. Like I showed you just now, that we are so concerned about the public image, how what will people say about us. If we do something, what will people say? Right? If you're so concerned, you say no, that public image is nothing, will you ever get your daughter married in a pajama suit? Go from the home, pajama suit, you can go now, as it is, it's night now. Now, why are you wearing new dress? Just put a pajama suit, your bathroom sandals, go out. You'll never do that. You won't do that. We know it. It's a play of words. See, we try to justify our wrong. Well, justify our wrong in very, very crude ways. So if that was right, right? You say, all right, the main thing is the heart, the outer self is not an important thing. So let her go in pajamas, old pajamas she's got there. Right? They've got bathroom sandals. Just go there. Now why are you wasting money and time and all that? Just go there. You take out, you have that bridal gown and all that, it'll take you so much of time to take it out, or big job. Just go with this champal, you've got an old champal there. Go with it. You'll do that, you don't want to do that. So we know it ourselves, we know it, that this is not right. So this is what this verse of the Quran is saying, وَذَرُوا ظَاهِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَبَاطِنَ. Outer sins and inner sins. Outer sins, inner sins. Now this, how do you achieve this? You achieve this in this way, that you constantly inspect yourself. What's my niyat? What's my intention? I'm doing this, I'm saying this, what's the intention here? Is my intention right? or there is some corruption in the intention. Is there something right? For example, he did something wrong, right? So I look at him differently. But if I did the same wrong, then I try to justify it. Or if it was my son or my daughter or my wife did the same thing wrong, then I look at it differently. So I've got a different standard for him and a different standard for me, or different standard for my wife or my child. So what will you say? No, there's something wrong, there's a flaw here. Because he did it, therefore I'm taking it very seriously. But my son is doing it, I am doing it, my wife is doing it, my child is doing it. Now I don't look at it with the same eye. If that wife did it, now will you shout her? Will you pull out her fault? Will you say anything? No, not going to say. But an outsider did it, no, I'm quick to go and complain. So what does it mean? That you don't have an even mind, you don't have a level mind. Mind is not right. See? There's a different standard for that outsider and a different standard for you. As though you became the God and you're making the law. No. So if you say that that's wrong for him, it's wrong for you also. It's wrong for the outsider, it's wrong for your own child as well. But if you have a different system, a different criteria, that means there's something wrong. So this is that Zahir and Batin, rectify it all the time, rectify it, correct it. Correct it, rectify it all the time. So you ask yourself constantly. One person came and told us, Mohammed Thami Sahib Rahmatullahi, that I have a little bit of, a small degree of malice for this person, for some of his behavior. Some reservation in my heart for this person here on account of his behavior. So Mona says that yes, this type of thoughts pass my mind as well. But as soon as those thoughts passed my mind, then I thought perhaps it is on account of my evil, some evil within me, that I am looking at him with contempt. I'm looking at him with contempt, but because of what? Because of my own weakness, not because he is contemptible, not because he is wrong, but because there is something wrong within me, therefore I am looking at the person with contempt. If I didn't have that evil within me, then I wouldn't have looked at that person with contempt. But because I have got evil within my heart, within my mind, therefore I am looking at him with contempt. Understand? So, many a times, in fact, most of the times, these problems that take place is because either we don't think, be-fikri, or bad-fikri. What? The mistake happens when there is be-fikri. You don't think, you don't reflect, or bad-fikri, or you're thinking wrong, you're thinking incorrectly. So most of the mistakes are centered around this. Be-fikri or bad-fikri. Be-fikri or bad-fikri means either you are disconcerned, be-fikr, or bad-fikr. Bad-fikr means you can't think right, you can't reason. You can't reason right. That is the one problem. And the other problem is you are disconcerned, not worried. So this disconcerned attitude, or this attitude where you can't reason correctly, these are both problems. The bad-fikri, that's even worse. You can't reason. Your reasoning is all off. You can't reason. That's even worse. Because perhaps this is a natural thing in him that he can't reason correctly. You'll have to sit with the person and try to correct his reasoning. That's even worse. Basically, alright, you can bring about some type of a solution to it. Because he is disconcerned, I'll make him concerned. Right? He is disconcerned. Now try and create a concern in him. Try and create a fikr in him. So there is an ilaj for this, but for this there is no ilaj. Right? Like you say, be-fikri and bad-fikri, etc. We hear the famous incident of Usman al-Ghani radiallahu anhu, right? When he would visit the Qabristan, he would cry most profusely. Right? But he wouldn't cry so much when he hears about Qiyamah, etc. But Qabristan, he goes to visit the Qabristan and he's so overtaken, he's crying most profusely. Whereas, on the other end, you hear Usman al-Ghani radiallahu anhu is a Jannati, right? Amongst those 10 Sahaba kiram that were promised Jannat in this life, he's amongst those 10 Sahaba kiram. And what made him cry so much? The reason is obvious. So, and I say that we need to apply our minds, think, but when you begin to think, then you get the solutions, you get the answers. But if you don't think, then everything seems to be complicated, everything seems to be not right. So because of not thinking, not applying our minds, or thinking incorrectly. So the reason is obvious. When you see, for example, if you see in the olden days, 1960s, 70s, there used to be hanging, you know, the criminal is hanged, right? If you see someone hanged, what happens? You'll cheer, you get into a panic. You get into a panic. You will get into a panic. I know, many years ago, there was a killing, right? In Mecca, when a murderer is caught, then he's killed. Like he killed someone, then he's killed. That's an easy, simple, and a natural way. You killed someone, you committed murder, they will kill, they behead you. So my one friend was going in that direction. I told him, by the way, there's going to be a beheading today. Please don't watch it. Don't watch this beheading. So now, for the excitement, he went in that direction. He told Mullah, for 1 week I can't eat. 1 week. I saw that person's head just flying off his body. The one stroke, that person also, the way with so much, you know, he's got so much of style in him, that just one stroke, and the whole head is out. One stroke. So for 1 week I couldn't eat. I told him, who asked you to be there? I told him, don't go and see it. You don't have the heart to go and see it. If you don't have the heart to see it, then why did you go in the first place? You shouldn't have gone there. So when you see something of fear, it is natural for you to be afraid, to become afraid. And it is required of you to feel that apprehension and the fear within you. The teacher in the class, he is hitting a child, right? He is disciplining a child in the class. Now, the rest of the child, what are they supposed to be doing? They are supposed to be taking a lesson, right? This child is being hit. He is being disciplined. So the rest of the class must now feel afraid, show some apprehension, show some fear. But if the class is laughing, some boy is laughing, not worried, what happens? This now increases the anger of the teacher, that this was a lesson for the rest of the class, that I hit him, I beat him up. But you people are not concerned about it at all. So similarly, Usman al-Ghani, although he's innocent, right? Although he's a Jannati, but he's thinking to himself, perhaps, that this is what Allah Ta'ala wants of me, that I must see this and take an ibrah, take an instructive lesson for myself. Therefore, he would pass the Qabristan, think about the Qabristan, that life, and then he would cry most profusely. So these problems that come into our lives mainly, either bi-fikri or bad-fikri. Either we reason incorrectly, or we are disconcerned, right? Disconcerned, or we reason incorrectly. And if you can just get these two right, inshallah, we can get a lot of mileage from ourselves. A lot of mileage we can get, but just get these two right: bad fikri and bi fikri. Allah Ta'ala tawfiq nasib. For 10 minutes, get our.